From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A massive global heat wave has struck in many parts of the world this summer, smashing records and resulting in death and destruction. The most dramatic instance has been the devastating fire that hit a small resort near Athens in Greece, killing scores of people, many of whom were trapped in their cars or drowned while seeking refuge from the flames in the sea. In Japan, spiking temperatures have led to more than 20,000 people being hospitalized in the past week, and more than 80 people have died. Here in the United States, the West Coast has been struck with back-to-back heat waves, fueling fast-moving wildfires. The record-breaking heat is in line with predictions that climate scientists have been making for years about global warming. But you wouldn't know it from elected officials or most of the media. We turn now to Thanu Yakupitiage. She's the U.S. Communications Manager with 350.org. Welcome to the program, Thanu.
Thanks again for having me.
So this is a phenomenon that isn't just striking us here in Southern California, where this program is based, as I mentioned, but is happening all over the world. How unprecedented is this? I mentioned there are records that are breaking in Greece and Japan, but you know, there are other parts of Europe. It seems as though wherever it is in the hemisphere where it is summer now, the summer is just far, far more brutal.
Yeah, I mean, every year we hit new records in terms of temperature rise, and this year is no different. And as you said, this what's happening across the world falls in line with all of the predictions of climate scientists. In Japan, Japan has issued that the heat and temperatures are a natural disaster and a crisis, and we've seen what's happening in Greece, what's happening in California, and also we're in the midst of hurricane season as well. And so, you know, we can expect probably even more natural disasters to happen this year. What I would say is that for us here at 350, what we try to do is really show how this is a continued trend. Every year has been considered the hottest year on record, and 2018 is on par to being the hottest year again on record. And this is why we right now are organizing the Rise for Climate marches across the world. There's about 331 marches happening on September 8th to really call on elected officials at all levels to take this seriously. People are dying. We're not talking a few people. We're talking tens of hundreds of thousands of people who will continue to be affected every year while the media stays silent, while elected officials continue to act like they are somehow doing things on climate when they're not. What we're calling for is real climate leadership, and real climate leadership to us means committing to transitioning off of fossil fuels in a fast, fair, and just way, and to transition communities to 100% renewables.
The news reporting on these heat waves has been quite interesting to see. So obviously the media are reporting on the fact that there are heat waves and the fact that records are being broken. But do you find that many in the media are linking, say, the heat wave in Japan to the heat wave in Greece, to the heat wave in Algeria, where the hottest temperatures on record and ever recorded in Africa were recorded on July 5th, to what's happening in California and Oregon and Alaska? Are the media linking these heat waves as a global phenomenon?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's been less coverage about this being a global phenomenon. Obviously, the media are covering all of these instances in an isolated fashion and also relating it to climate change. But I think that what is really clear about the climate crisis is that we can't work on it in isolation. We need a global movement to stop the climate crisis. That's why 350.org is a global organization, because these things don't happen in isolation. The reason why there are wildfires in California, to fires in Greece, to the hottest temperatures on record in Japan, is because of what we've done to our planet. And that's something that has to be really taken into consideration. Elected officials at all levels across the world need to get involved in the fight against the climate crisis, because it's only going to get worse. Communities are already being impacted. And, you know, there are things that we can do to make sure that communities are protected and safe. And yet elected officials are continuing to prop up the fossil fuel industry over protecting their communities. And that's one of the main issues that we want to, push to effect right now.
And of course, the irony is that as people try to stay safe from the record-breaking heat, they have to use lots of energy to stay safe, to stay cool, to prevent, death and injury from heat stroke. Air conditioning sucks up a huge amount of energy. And so, as we are struggling with this heat wave, the energy consumption is likely rising as well, right?
Yeah, yes, of course, it's rising. And that's one of the impacts of ignoring the crisis for a long time. But I think that one of the arguments, particularly that folks on the right say, or folks who are trying to deny that the climate crisis is happening, say, it's like, well, if you really want to, fix climate change, you should turn off your air conditioner. But I'm sorry, but like turning off my air conditioner, if like there are record temperatures, that makes like, my health and like my safety a problem, like that's not the crux of the issue at this point. We think that where we really need to focus is not on things like, air conditioners, but on like where the root of the problem is. The root of the problem is in fossil fuels. The root of the problem is in our burning of coal, air, gas, and other fossil fuels that are continuing to cause, the climate crisis. And if we, as like a global community, can stop fossil fuels, we can help to reduce the impacts of the climate crisis greatly.
Right. I mean, air conditioners can run on solar power, on wind-generated electricity, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So these kinds of stories that the media are covering, when they make the connections, do you still find that you see not very direct or strong ties to climate change being made by writers? I still see, whenever I read about the record-breaking heat, people say, I feel like they have to qualify every statement with something like, well, while any single heat wave cannot be directly linked to climate change, there's always a qualification, right? You don't hear that kind of qualification when, say, a longtime smoker gets lung cancer.
Yeah, I mean, we have no qualifications for climate change at 350. Like, climate change is happening. We are way past the point of having conversations about whether climate change is real or not. Even Republicans can't continue to argue that climate change isn't real. Like, it's happening. The statistics show that. Climate scientists have consistently showed that. What we need to do is really focus on solutions. And we need real solutions, not false solutions. And so, these solutions such as, like, creating technology that would capture carbon from the air, those are false solutions. Like, what we really need to do is to stop propping up corporations over the health and safety of communities. And so when we put communities first, when we put people first, when we look at the solutions that people have, from whether it's like urban farming solutions to the 100% renewable communities that folks are already creating, that's really where the solutions lie. Like in California, for example, there are frontline communities living at the forefront of where there are refineries, where there's fossil fuel production, and you can see the health impacts on those communities as these wildfires continue to spark. And so that's one of the reasons why we're very invested in the Rise for Climate Jobs and Justice March in California that will be happening on September 8th. There's going to be hundreds of other actions across the country and over 300 actions across the world, because as is clear this summer, these climate impacts are not going to go away, and we need for elected officials to step up. It's not enough for the media to just cover this and say that yes, climate change is happening, we need for elected officials to actually take real action.
And the Rise for Climate Action, September 8th, are happening all over the country and all over the world. Our program is nationally syndicated. So for those of you watching or listening on the East Coast or in Alaska or elsewhere, there's a website, riseforclimate.org, where you can find an event near you. We'll give that out again later in a few minutes. Thanu, are temperatures rising faster than even climate scientists predicted? Because we know that, you know, the climate is a very, very complicated thing to predict. There's so many variables and feedback loops where the heat from one source or carbon emissions from one source can trigger emissions from another source and can unlock heat sources, etc. And so it's incredibly hard to predict. We know that it's heating up, but how fast it's heating up has been something that people haven't had a handle on. Are we heating, is the planet heating up faster than climate scientists predicted?
There are reports that the planet is heating up faster. I don't have specific facts to share with you at this moment about this particular thing, but I can definitely like send that over for your viewers. But certainly, again, like carbon emissions, the science of carbon emissions is complicated. You know, one thing triggers to another, but as we can see from this summer, this isn't, it's not something that's false. Carbon emissions are actually shifting our climate. It is the reason why there's hotter temperatures, rising sea levels, you know, all of these natural disasters is because of carbon emissions. And if we continue to invest in an economy that relies on fossil fuels, we're just going to continue to heat up the planet in a way that will no longer be, you know, effective for us to live on. And so if we want to really preserve our planet and our livelihoods, this is something that we need to do now. I think that the thing about climate change is that it's something that feels very looming and people don't feel like they can do something about it. And particularly in a time where there's all sorts of crises, including a crisis of deportations in the US and elsewhere, where people are being impacted by the real assaults of the state, it's really difficult to think about what's going to happen 20 years from now. But we need to be thinking about this because climate change is already leading to mass migration of people from their homes because their livelihoods are at stake. And that triggers other things. That triggers even more assaults by governments who are trying to keep communities who are fleeing from climate change, from drought, et cetera, from you know, their own countries. And so what we're seeing, the thing about climate change is that it triggers everything. It triggers political crises, it triggers immigration crises, it triggers economic crises. And so we have to really see climate change as something that we need to sort now and to really find solutions, because if you wait, it'll be too late.
Right. It's not just that there's a failure to link the heat waves to global warming and to one another, but there's a failure to link global warming to these other various crises that get fueled. It was an interesting response from MSNBC host Chris Hayes recently. And of course, he's, you know, in the mainstream media, one of the more progressive anchors, news anchors, when somebody on social media posted that corporate media are just not doing a good job of connecting these heat waves to climate change. Chris Hayes tweeted, almost without exception, every single time we've covered, it's been a palpable ratings killer. So the incentives are not great. And there was a, you know, bit of a firestorm over his comments. What do you make of this?
His comments on like how climate change is a ratings killer.
Ratings killer, whenever the media covers. And of course, because our corporate media is so tied to advertiser profits and to keeping people hooked in and watching, apparently when people, and I've noticed this too, when we covered climate change, say during our pledge drives, people tune out because it's so scary.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually was in a room where Chris Hayes said that to a group of people. Oh. I mean, in a corporate media environment, like, I mean, what Chris Hayes is saying is that ultimately, like, his job is also, you know, certainly to report on the news, but also to ensure that, you know, his show gets ratings. And if there are no ratings with when, you know, speaking about climate change, the corporate media is not going to report on it. However, that's like a very, you know, it's like a violent like feedback loop where if the media is not covering climate change, they're also not giving people the information they need on how to protect themselves. And so what I would say is that, you know, what I've noticed is that the media are more likely to cover natural disasters in terms of like what's happening like on the ground, like how communities have been hit, but they are less likely to talk about sort of the impacts of climate change. And there's going to be consequences for that. If we do not cover climate change in the media, if we do not use the media as a force to push politicians to, you know, meet our demands, such as getting off of fossil fuels, we, you know, we're actually putting ourselves in more danger. That said, you know, there is a lot of media that has been reporting on climate change, and yes, I think that that's super important as well.
Yes, and in fact, I've noticed that the British media are doing a much better job than the American media. The BBC is covering things, and there was an article about how the UK media has essentially changed its tune over the past couple of years in making these connections. And all of this, of course, in the United States, we've had just this complete political crisis with Donald Trump coming to power, and as you said earlier, with all of the crises that he is invoking that aren't related to directly to climate, we just are seeing this blind spot, it seems, in not just media coverage but policy actions from the federal government. Certainly, he's taken us out of the Paris Accord, but there are states, right, that have long before Trump, the Paris Accord, and Obama been doing work on mitigating climate disaster that have, I think, even revved up their work a little bit more since Trump came to power. Is does hope in the U.S. lie still with the states?
I think hope does not lie with the federal government. Yes, hope lies with the states, and hope lies with elected officials from the city level to the state level. It's imperative that states and cities step up, from Governor Cuomo to Governor Brown, from Mayor Bill de Blasio to other mayors across the country. They have the power to protect their communities and to put to stop fossil fuels, stop pipelines rather, from going through their states and their cities, and to set the agenda for what it is that they want their cities and states to look like in the just transition to 100% renewables. If that happens on the local and state level, the federal government has no choice but to to support it. I know that right now with the proposal of the EPA to roll back the clean car standards, there's also this conversation happening about whether the federal government has the right to actually like limit states' ability to set their own regulations. And states really have to push back on that, because this ultimately is about states being able to protect their communities.
So, and as you were saying earlier, the conversation now isn't just about reducing carbon emissions, which absolutely needs to happen, but also, of course, mitigating the situation. So can you please end with giving us a sense of where people can find out information about adaptation, and then remind us about the September 8th events?
Yeah, so there's a lot of information on 350.org. And if you go to riseforclimate.org, you can find information on all of the marches that are happening across the country and across the world. And if you are in a community where a march isn't happening, you can actually sign up to have an action in your city or town.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Thanu.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Thanu Yakupitiyage. She's the U.S. Communications Manager for 350.org. And we've been covering this summer's global heat waves and its links to climate change, as well as media coverage. And again, that website that she gave is riseforclimate.org, where September 8th is the day that communities around the world will be holding marches and protests and events around tackling climate change. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram at RU with Sonali.